Hey, good afternoon. And I already did this morning, but apparently,
at 8 a.m.
apparently it didn't go through. We didn't use the right server, so it didn't work. So hopefully it's working now, and I'm praying that it is, and we're going to pretend and believe that it is, because we want to share our message with the world. And I think the message we have today is really important for you to hear. So this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad.
Welcome to church. I'm Donna Schuler. This is Robert Schuler. We always want to say who we are at the beginning because this goes on a podcast. So that explanation before was because we come to you live at 8 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, soon to be Pacific Standard Time next Sunday, time change. But we come to you at 8 a.m. and we bring you a message of hope and the love of Jesus Christ. And we've had all kinds of challenges. So we need your support more than ever, because the more we try to distribute the word, the more challenges we have. And most of you who listen to us know we tell the truth. We tell the truth from a biblical standpoint. This is our guide and rule in life. And in fact, I'm going to read it here in a minute. So. Do you want to have an opening prayer?
Yep. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Touch every heart and soul with your goodness and your peace and your hope. We love you, Lord. We praise your name. Amen.
Amen. So this will be our third time, because we had our service here at 8. We did the whole thing, not knowing it, which is black, I guess, the whole thing. And then
no,
we have
volume, nothing.
So we can't turn it into our podcast.
But for some reason, when I put up a slide, it goes with the works.
It's very odd. And then we did our 10 a.m. service here in Newport Beach at the Community Center and the Newport Beach Civic Center. And now here's third time is a charm.
Yeah.
So I'm told.
Exactly.
Today, Robert's message is all on hope. And we read in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And continuing on with Hebrews 11, verses 23 through 29. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. We know that God will continue to add his blessing as we read his holy words. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us this faith, for helping us to keep on going when we feel like quitting. Lord, we pray for peace in the Middle East. We pray for peace around the globe, Lord. We pray that you would just put an end to war, put an end to the war in the Holy Land right now, Lord, your land, oh God. And you know what's going on there. We don't. We can't figure it out. We don't understand when evil things happen, but you've given us free will. You allow us to make mistakes. You allow us to make choices in life that can get us hurt. And we love you, Lord, that you've given us free will. You could have just put this world in motion and come up with Adam and Eve and us, our humankind, but and told us we're going to be perfect and made us robots and told us exactly what to say and exactly what to do. But you didn't do that. You let us choose. You let us choose to love or to fear or sometimes even to hate, Lord. And we thank you that we are choosing to love. We are choosing to love in your name. Pray for each and every person listening, that's not feeling peace. It's not feeling peace in their families, or perhaps not feeling any peace in their body, their mind, their soul, their spirit. Lord, we know that you are the great healer, and you can restore anyone and everyone. We thank you for doing miracles right now, restoring health 100%. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
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 So one of the things we do every Sunday is we collect an offering. And so to collect the offering, what we encourage people to do is go to our website. And there's lots of reasons you would like to go to our website anyway, because we have blogs on there and we have...
there's lots to look at.
Yeah.
Links to our podcast, links to our whole library of short videos, long videos, sermons, you name it. Some of our travels around the globe with the Global Peace Conference. We've got interesting things on there that you could spend all day looking at. So go to drschuller.org, drschuller, one word, drschuller. I'm spelling that out because closed caption on some of the apps, some of the social platforms, doesn't spell it out correctly. So go to our website, and that's how we can give there. Tell them about that.
Yep, there's a little button that says I'd like to give, and you can follow the prompts by pushing that button. Or you can scroll to the bottom and get our address, which is 26 Kenyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660, and you can send a check. Lots of people like to do that. And the third way is you can also use Venmo. And if you wish to use Venmo, it looks like this. Let me pull up a slide so you get an idea of what it looks like. That's what our Venmo page looks like. And it's Robert Schuller Ministries.
And there's a picture of Robert and I in the middle of the QR code. If you have your cell phone out right now, you can do that. But chances are you may be watching on your cell phone. And then also one last way is Zelle.
Yeah.
Z-E-L-L-E, either you know what it is or you don't, but the money comes straight out of your bank account, straight into the ministries with no fees, no charges.
Exactly.
That's what we're told. So again, it's Robert Schuller Ministries is our account, our Zelle account. So we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for what you're able to give. I'm going to jump out now because we're doing a shorter
version. Yeah, we're doing an abbreviated version.
You're going to do a good message, earlier. But you can't abbreviate your message. It's too important. His message is great. So you need to listen to this, but I'm going to step out, and I already walked the dog, so I'm not going to say that today. I'll see you next week. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate it. We need it more than ever. God is trying to be abolished. It's already been abolished in our school systems. They're trying to abolish it anywhere and everywhere, and we need to stand up as Christians and say, absolutely no, we will not put up with this. We are fearless. We are faithful. And we need your help to do this. So thank you so much for your financial support. All right. God loves you. So do I. Bye.
Thank you, Donna. Well, one of the reports, I like to give different reports that you probably won't hear in other media platforms and some history as far as situations are concerned. And I think many of you are familiar with what's going on in the Holy Land right now, what's going on in Israel and Gaza. And it's tragic and terrible. But one of the things that you probably don't know about is one of the reasons that the Palestinian refugee situation continues year after year after year, while other refugee situations are completely resolved. For instance, the UN controls most of what takes place in refugees around the world. The UNHCR, which stands for the UN High Commission of Refugees, repatriates refugees from around the world, the millions and millions of refugees. For instance, all of the refugees from the Syrian war, there was millions of refugees, and this UN agency helped take care of all of those refugees. The same with all the ones from Somalia and Ethiopia and Africa and you name it, around the globe. I think some of the more recent ones would be from Myanmar, and yet they continue to do an amazing job with all of these refugees. However, They have absolutely nothing to do with the Palestinian refugees, and that's a problem. The Palestinian refugees have their own. It's called UNRWA, UNRWA. It stands for the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, which was established in 1949. And since it was established in 1949, there was 400,000 refugees. Now they claim 5 million refugees. How is it possible that you get more and more refugees in a situation like this? And it has to do with the geopolitical situation of Palestine. My belief is that UNRWA, UNRWA, the relief agency, needs to be incorporated and become part of the High Commission of Refugees that the UN supplies, and needs to be actually abolished, because until it is, we're going to constantly have a problem with Palestinian refugees, because the people who run UNRWA have no motivation, no desire whatsoever in resolving the Palestinian issue. And since there's no resolution, it can perpetuate for year after year, which it has done for almost 100 years. Since 1949, it was started. So we're approaching the 100-year mark. And here's where it all started. This is a map of the Holy Land. I hesitate using the word Palestine, because nowhere on this map will you see the word Palestine. This map is what the Holy Land looked like right after the Second World War. Right after the Second World War, the British government divided up all of the states. So you, at the very top of the map, you have Lebanon. Next to that, you have Syria. Below that, in the coral color or pinkish color, you have the country of Jordan. And the yellow is the state of Israel. And then to the left corner there on the white is Egypt, which incorporates also Gaza, which was controlled by Egypt as well. No place is there Palestine. So what are Palestinian refugees? Palestinian refugees are Arabs who lived in the yellow in 1949. And what they did is many of them moved into Jordan. Some moved to the borders of Lebanon and Syria and Egypt and into Gaza. And this is the map of the Holy Land after it was the British Empire divided up into these countries. Prior to that, it was the British Mandate, and prior to that, it was the Ottoman Empire. So none of this is Palestine. Palestine is yellow, the what you see in yellow. And why that is so important is for you to realize that there has been numerous options to give Palestine certain piece of property and country which they can control, and they have always refused, because all they want is the land in yellow, which is the state of Israel, which means they, in their charter, they will not compromise until Israel is off the face of the map. That is the only solution that UNRWA will accept. That is the only solution your Palestinian Liberation Army will accept. It is the only solution that Hamas and will accept. It is the only solution that your freedom fighters will accept, is the total elimination of the state of Israel. So that therein lies the problem. UNRWA needs to be incorporated into UNHCR, or the High Commission of Refugees. And the fact is that Donald Trump recognized that, unfunded it. And when Biden took office in 2020, he immediately funded it again, which is one of the reasons that has led to the current political situation we have in Israel today. But I give all of that as an introduction to my message today, which is from 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter comes and encourages us as Christians, because throughout the history of the Holy Land, Christians, Arabs, Muslim Arabs, and Jews lived side by side harmoniously for centuries through the Ottoman Empire, through the British Mandate, through most of the current situation. It's just been in the last 15, 20 years that specifically the last 20 years that there has been tremendous unrest with the rise of the Islamic State. Now, that's different from than Islam. The rise of the Islamic State only wishes and allows there to be Islam and no other religions. As a result of that, what used to be 30% of the Arabs in Palestine or in Israel, in the Holy Land, used to be Christians, 30% of them. Today, it's less than 2%. It's 1.5%. In Gaza, there's less than 1%. And what has happened is, since the rise of the Islamic State in the last few decades, the Christians have been persecuted and driven out of Israel, driven out of the West Bank, driven out of Gaza. And it is a contention of persecution, and the Islamic State will not allow anyone to live and to enjoy peace unless they profess the Muslim faith, which is really tragic, because I look at Bethlehem. I went to Bethlehem numerous times in the 70s, and it was primarily Christian. All Arabs, Christian Arabs. Today, it's left only a family or two that is left in Bethlehem, and the Islamists have driven them all out. And I bring that up because what's important for us to hear as Christians today is the message from St. Peter that he has for us. Let me give you a little history of St. Peter. St. Peter was first called by Jesus from a fisherman. He was literally fishing in Galilee, throwing and casting out his nets. And Jesus called him and said, "Follow me." And Jesus dropped his nets, left his boats, and followed Jesus. He continued to follow Jesus, and what a flamboyant life he has and portrayed within the Gospels. But nothing is more beautiful in the life of Peter and in the Gospels than the account that took place at Caesarea Philippi. In the very north of Israel, outside of the Judaic faith of the time, Jesus brought his apostles to the gates of hell. Literally, they were called the gates of Hades. And there is where they worshiped the god Pan, from which we get the word pandemic, panic, pandemonium. It is the god Pan who played the pan flute, and that's where the word pan flute comes from. And he was half goat, half man. And they participated in all kinds of weird sexual activities, and it was an ugly thing. It was there that Jesus decided to reveal himself to his apostles. It was there he asked his apostles, "Who do men say that I am?" And his apostles answered, "Well, some think you're a prophet, others think you're Elijah, others think you're a good teacher." But then came the most poignant and most important question that Jesus asked his apostles, and it's a question that he continues to ask every single human being and will continue to ask every single human being from now to the end of time. And the question is this. There's a question he asks you, and it's a question you must answer. It's the most important question you will ever be asked. And St. Peter said, and the question was, who do you say that I am? Not what others say, what do you say? And St. Peter said, excuse me, St. Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when we answer that question, we get the same answer and the same response that Peter did. When Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, Simon bear Jonah. He called him by his proper name, Simon, son of Jonah. Simon bear Jonah. You are rock. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And the translation of rock is, or he said, you are Peter, which is translated rock, and the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. And each one of us, every single human being, who responds to that question of Jesus when Jesus asks us, who do you say that I am? When we say you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, he responds to us, you are Peter, you are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. So the church of Jesus Christ isn't a building like the most magnificent building in the world, St. Peter's, or the Christ Cathedral, or some other magnificent temple to God. It's not about a building. The building that Jesus is building, the rock of which you are a part of, is a spiritual building of believers who profess in the Messiah, that Jesus is the Messiah and the Lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You answer that question, you become a building stone in the church of Jesus. And that's what Peter did. I look at St. Peter and his life, and then I read these words that he gives us in his very first letter. He gives us two letters, First and Second Peter. And in this first letter, on this first chapter, he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I hear a reflection of his original profession to Jesus Christ, where he said, you are the Son of the living God. And here it is, you are, through the mercy of God, we receive a living hope. Not a dead hope, not a hope that is laissez-faire or pie in the sky, but it is a living hope that we pass on to our children. Because his next statement is that we receive an inheritance. And it's not an inheritance that will perish or spoil or fade, which means the inheritance we receive from God is not an inheritance of things. Because no matter what we have, it will perish. No matter what we acquire, it will pass away. Lands and buildings and temples and churches and synagogues, they will all pass away. The only thing that doesn't is our faith in Jesus Christ. The only thing that doesn't fade away is our profession of our hope, our living hope, that through Jesus Christ, we will see the land of the living, not the land of the dead. And so when I look at the hundreds of thousands of Christian Arabs who have left the Holy Land, they have received a promised land that is far more beautiful and respective and understanding than a piece of soil at the end of the Mediterranean, where they have received a hope that continues to live beyond them and into their children. Because the most important thing we can do as parents is to teach our children this message, that Jesus will ask us a question. And the most important question that we'll ever be asked is from Jesus. And the question is, who do you say that I am? And we need to teach our children that the response is loud and clear. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when that happens, we receive our freedom. We're no longer bound to an organization. We're no longer bound to a philosophy or a theology. We're no longer refugees. We are heirs of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we inherit our kingdom, not of this world, but of eternal life. So that when we come face to face with Jesus, we experience the fullness of his grace and his love. So here we live beyond governments. Here we live beyond what people wish to do to manipulate and contrive us. We live beyond the fear of this life into the land of the living, because we have a living hope, as St. Peter said, and an inheritance through faith. And as a result of that, we have God's power until the coming of salvation. Those are the words and the promises we receive from 1 Peter 1. And so I know this is a condensed version of what I did earlier this morning, but this is the third time I've delivered this message. So I guess it's easier to deliver. But I want you to hear this message loud and clear, that God loves you, that God has a plan for your life, that God wants to direct you and guide you like guided the Israelites through the wilderness. And as we continue to put our hope, our living hope, in the saving grace of Jesus Christ, we will inherit this beautiful gift of faith that will not perish, but will last forever. And so, God, we thank you for this opportunity we have to be able to recognize you, to recognize your goodness. So touch every heart and soul and mind with your presence and your reality, we pray in your Son's name. Amen. And now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always and forever. Amen. Go to our website, drschuler.org. Support this ministry. And we want to thank you in advance for everything you do. For God is alive today. And through you, we will continue to make a positive impact in the world for Jesus Christ. God loves you, and so do we. He is blessing you.